This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so we are 48 hours away from the Yom Tov of Shavuos. I'd like to begin with a lovely mashal that I heard last year, the year before, I can't remember, from Rabbi Elimelech Biederman, the famous mashpia, the famous speaker. He says a fabulous mashal. There was a fellow in town who was the wealthiest guy in the whole town, and he very much wanted a prize son-in-law, you know, the outstanding Edom. So he went to the yeshiva, and he sought out the Rosh Hashiva, and he said to Rosh Hashiva, who is your best student, who is the best Talmud? I want a an outstanding son-in-law. So the Rosh Hashiva said, look, the outstanding young man here, and he pointed, is that fellow over there. He's brilliant in learning, he's wonderful middas, you know, other middas, tavis, etc., etc. So the rich shver went over to this young man, they spoke, and he promised him all lots of wonderful things, and the deal was done. All was sorted. He moved to the town of the Shver. He moved into this new home that he had set aside specially for him. The first Friday night, he's sitting in shul. You see my Shver, you see my Edom, you see my son-in-law. And he's sitting there and, you know, and he speaks in the shul and everyone's very impressed, etc., etc. And all goes very well. After a couple of weeks, the son-in-law says to the father-in-law, he says, look, I'm really grateful. You know, everything you give me and the opportunities, and I can see you're very proud of me. I have just one question. Where's the color? Where's your daughter? So he says, the rich shver says, I don't have a daughter. So he says, so why are you looking for a son-in-law? So he said, because the other people in town have sons-in-law, and I also want a nice son-in-law. But you don't have a daughter. Okay, so, but I want a nice son-in-law. Now, obviously, that's absurd, and that's ridiculous. But says Rav Biederman, sometimes when it comes to Shavuos, we get caught up a little bit in the Minhagim of Shavuos. Now, the Minhagim are very important. One year we had a shir just on the foundations of the Minhagim, why they're so important. It's somewhere up there on Torah Anytime. But the Minhagim are very important, and it's important to have nice cheesecake and flowers and all the other Minhagim. But we shouldn't lose sight of the central theme of Shavuos. The central theme of Shavuos is Kabbalas HaTorah and our personal connection to Torah and our personal growth in ruchnius and attachment and focus on Torah. So we shouldn't underplay the centrality of Shavuos, and that is where, how does Torah fit into our lives and our connection to it. So that is just the opener, and that segues well into the first idea I'd like to share with you. There's a beautiful ksav Kabbalah that I came across based on a pasuk in Mishpatim which deals with Matan Torah. Matan Torah is, of course, in Parshas Yisro, but it also spills into the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And the pasuk says in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Umare Kvoit Hashem, describing Matan Torah, Umare Kvoit Hashem, the appearance of the honor of Hashem, is Ke'esh Echeles. It's like a, how would you translate Esh Echeles? A consuming fire. Esh, which is Echel, which consumes. Beresh Hahar, on the top of the mountain, in Ibn Israel. So this sort of remarkable sight appeared as a consuming fire on top of the mountain. The Ksav Kabbalah is troubled by the words Esh Ocheles. Would it not suffice to say, Umar Kved Hashem Ke'esh Beresh Ha'ha, it's like a fire on top of the mountain? Why does the Torah use that adjective of Esh Ocheles, a consuming fire? That's what fire does. It's like saying, you know, and the water was wet. Well, the fire consumes, that's what it does. So what exactly is the point in the pasuk Esh Echeles? So let's take a look at this Ksav Kabbalah. If you're listening online, please email me at j.goldker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. So this is the second box, Ksav Kabbalah. Bo hamikra lo hidiyenu, the pasuk comes to teach us, ki be'emes lo hoysa kol ha'uma shava b'madregas hasogazu. Fascinating. That not every member of Klal Yisrael were on the same level. Rak, kol echod mehem, hisig, each person was on the level according to his own personal preparation of his the shlemus of his own person. In other words, the more you put in, the more you get out. And not everyone puts in the same. Everyone is approaching the Yom Tov Shavuos, or Kabbalah's Torah in this case, on a slightly different madriga. If someone has a minimal preparation, so then, Lo shalta ba'asoga ruchnis min ha'kovet hanele rak ma'at. He'll only get out of it a small amount, l'fi madrigos ha'ktana, according to his minimal investment. V'ashehoyse nafshe mucheness yoyse, and ashtemus hisig yoyse. And whoever prepares more and understands and invests more in Torah will get more out of it. And I'll prove it to you, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. Moshe Rabbeinu was on the highest of standards. So he sort of went, penetrated into the sort of the cloud beyond everybody else. And Aaron HaKohen was sort of the peg lower than that. The Nodav Avihu Lamatam Aaron, they were a little bit lower. The Shivim Zakenim Lamatam Min Nodav Avihu. And the rest of the Zakenim a bit lower than that. For Chamamor, Moshe Mechitza La'atzma, V'ara Mechitza La'atzma, that's what it means. That Moshe had his own Mechitza, his own abode, and so too Aaron, and so too the others. Kocha, so too. Kol Shar Ha'om, Kol Echod Lefi Shleimus Nafshei, Lefi Haroilo. Each person, commensurate to his preparation, his connection, Kumus Hasogas HaKovet Hoysa Lefi Kumus HaKhonas HaNefoshes LaSiga. So too was his appreciation, his understanding of Kabbalah HaTorah. Imagine a Shabbos. So you can have a person who decides he's going to really, really invest in a Shabbos. So the whole week he's learning about the importance of Shabbos. Thursday night, he starts thinking about it already, he's preparing, by Chatzos, by midday on Erev Shabbos, he's already been to the mikveh, he's ready for Shabbos, in his Shabbos clothes, and he's saying Tehillim, he's saying Shir Hashirim, he's preparing even a bowl of chulent, l'kovod Shabbos. And then he goes into Shabbos, picture his l'chodeli, picture his mizmeh shel yom Shabbos. Compare that to the guy who sort of, is busy at work, and he sort of just leaves the office late, and he runs home, and he barely has time to shower if he can, and he changes for Shabbos, and he runs to shul, and he's exhausted, and his Kabbalah to Shabbos is very different, because the more you put in, the more you get out, the more connected, the more you invest in something, the more you get out of it. So too, when it came to Kabbalah HaTorah, and if you take a look at the next paragraph, the Echot Hoya Hadibu Midabe Imoy Al Ze Amakro Umarek Kvet Hashem Ke'esh Acheles. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, that's what it means, Ke'esh Acheles. What does Esh Acheles mean? Each material that fire burns will burn according to that material, according to the combustibility of that material. So imagine you've got paper. So paper will burn very quickly. Imagine you've got wood. That will also burn fairly easily. You've got stone, you've got metal. That will burn, but not as well. Each material will burn according to the combustibility of that material. So too, our reception of Torah depends on our preparation and on the preparation, the hachana, the spiritual sort of investment that we've made. That's what it means, ke'esh ocheles. Or mare kved Hashem, ke'esh ocheles. Just as each material has a different combustibility, fire will burn it differently, well, so too, each person's understanding and what he can get out of Matan Torah, his perception of it, will depend on his investment and his connection to it. And then he finishes off, Hine kamoyo esho echeles bedovu lefi kumus hachona hateva, kocho bamamat hanechbad vahanoyre, etc. Kol echod lefi hachonas nafshay. Very, very beautiful idea. And perhaps to connect to that is a famous vart of the Ishbitza. I was zeichet to be in Poland a couple of weeks ago, and we went for the second time. I've been there now to Ishbitz. So it's nice to say over some Torah from the Ishbitza. There's a famous vart of the Hagos Hashri. The Hagos Hashri is a very famous, I think it's a Rishon, and he says the following famous case that people quote. Reuven sold some metal to Shimon. Now, it was lead. So he does a deal, let's say £1,000 worth of lead, a big box of lead, he sells it to Shimon. And Shimon, then, he's going to sell it on, he looks at it, and it looks a little bit different to lead. When he analyzes it further, once he's bought it, he goes to the expert, and the expert analyzes it and says, "My dear friend, this is not lead. This is silver. This is not worth £1,000. This is worth £100,000. So the word gets around town that Shimon is the proud owner of a box full of silver worth £100,000. And the word gets back to Reuven, the guy who sold it to Shimon. So Reuven goes to Shimon, listen, I sold you this. This is a mekachtos. I should, this, you know, you need to return it to me. I'll give you £1,000 back. But I thought it was lead. I didn't realize it was silver. So the case went to Beis Din. The Hagos Hashri paskens in that situation that Shimon is exempt. He does not have to give it back because he doesn't have to pay the silver value back to Shimon. And he said the following. Because Reuven never really had a kinyan in the silver because he never realized he owned the silver. He thought it was lead. So if he didn't know that this was lead, that this was silver, he never had a kinyan in it. And therefore you can't sell what you don't own. You didn't have an ownership in this silver because you thought it was lead. That's the ruling, the famous ruling of the Hagos Hashri. Says the Ishbitzer, you see from there, that if a person doesn't appreciate what he hasn't really got it. And therefore, a person doesn't appreciate what Torah is, then you haven't really got a kinyan, a connection, an ownership of it. So part of the avoda of Shavuos is to appreciate what Torah is. Ki hem chayenu v'erechomenu, ashreinu matur chalkenu. That's really what a focus has got to be on Shavuos. Because to the extent that we invest and we prepare, then we get out. That's what the Ksav Kabbalah is saying when it comes to Matan Torah, that the Torah is called Eish Ocheles. The whole experience was described as Eish Ocheles to denote the fact that just like metal, just like other elements, other materials, have different combustibility depending on that material, well, so to us, that our reception of Torah depends on our spiritual connection and investment. Okay, let's move on. Now, paragraph 3 at the bottom of the page, let's just talk for the last bit about Rus. We, of course, lay Rus on Shavuos, and there are many, many reasons why we lay Megillas Rus on Shavuos. I've collated a few. The first two are brought in the Sefer HaManhig. The Sefer HaManhig is a very early Rishon, and he says in Hilchos Sukkah, in Amud Tov Yud Zayin, he says two reasons. The first is, V'chein Batzeres Nogu Lomar Rus, the reason why we say Rus on Shavuos, is Shomaitzi Esatam L'fishekosov V'betchilas Ktzir Se'orim. It was harvest time. Therefore, since Megillas Rus talks about harvest time, so therefore now Shavuos time is harvest time, that's one reason. A second reason he gives, that we know, Motsosim Tam Yofi, he says, that Rus was Megayeres, the Gemara in Yevama says. And therefore, just like in the last line, Kol Yisrael Niskari B'Kabbalah Satorah, we also, as it were, converted at Kabbalah Satorah, Alken Yitochin Loma Sefer Rus Batzeres. That's the connection. Just like Rus converted, well, so too, we, as it were, converted when it came to Shavuos time. The Birkei Yosef gives a few other reasons, again, well-known reasons, quoting from other sources. He says, Nagu Likris Megillah, at the top of the next page, Batzeres, V'hum Merabesein Zichron Livrocha, B'Yalkut Rus. The Yalkut Shemoni Medrash in Rus says, Ma'inyon Rus says Latzeres, why do we lay in Rus on Shavuos? L'Lametcha Shalinit Natoira, Ela Alidei Yisurin V'Oini. To really succeed in Torah, you have to do so out of trials and tribulations. Just like Rus had a difficult life. Well, so too, if you want to succeed in Torah, you have to work hard and it has to come through sweat. Oid kasu, another reason. The Torah kulu gemilas chasodim. The Gemara in Sota says that the Torah is entirely chesed. It begins with chesed, it ends with chesed. It begins with chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made clothes for Adam and Chava, and it ends in chesed that he buries Moshe Rabbeinu. So the whole Torah is Gemilas Chasodim. So too, Megillas Rus, yesh bo Gemilas Chasodim. Really, one of the central themes of Megillas Rus is chesed, and therefore we connect the chesed in Megillas Rus to the chesed which is Torah. The next reason, he quotes, that the Yerushalmi in Beitza says that David HaMelech nistalik ba'atzeres, he died on Shavuos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamali shnei sehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that Sadiqim live their full quota, that often they die on the day they were born, or on, you know, the anniversary. Or Megillas Rus liyachas l'David, and we know the whole purpose of Megillas Rus in the final pasuk is to give yichus, is to miyachas David HaMelech, the great grandson of Rus, and therefore we read Rus because we know that David HaMelech was born and died on Shavuos. So therefore we read Rus because that is the background story of Megillas Rus. So there we have five reasons, one more actually, that he says that, this is well known, that he says that that Rus, before she converted, she kept Shev Mitzvos Bnei Noach. And therefore, when she was Mekabel Torah, she had to keep an additional 606, which is the gematria of the name of Rus. And therefore, that gives Taryag Mitzvahs. Reish, Vov, Tov is 606. So she took on an extra 606, which gives us the Taryag Mitzvahs, which is really what Kabbalah HaTorah is. Okay, those are six, you know, I think, quite well-known reasons. There is a seventh reason I came across in Rabbi Manuel Bernstein Sefer, quoting Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Now, some background. We know that there was a lot of debate about the Yichus of David HaMelech, because the Torah says that Ammoni and Moavi are not allowed to marry into the Jewish people. A person from Ammon and Moav cannot convert into the Jewish people. And you therefore got a problem. Because Rus is from Moav, her great-grandson is David HaMelech. Now, with that in mind, now we know that Torah Shebal Peh changes that. Because Torah Shebal Peh explains that when it says Ammoni or Moavi, that's talking about the men. So the Gemara says Ammoni, V'loi Ammonis, Moavi, V'loi Moavis. The females are allowed to. So when Rus converted, that was legitimate, that was allowed. And therefore, David HaMelech, of course, came from a valid conversion from Rus, no problem. Now, with that background, let's take a look at Pasuk in Tehillim. The Pasuk says the longest capital Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yotes, in the penultimate letter, it says, Sorim Rudafuni Chinam, Omidvarcha Pochad Libi, Sos Onoichalim Rosecha Kometz Shalorov. Now, what does that mean? Take a look. This is, they quote the Vilna Gaon to explain as follows. Hine. This is the last box. Be'ez Shenismane David HaMelech Olav HaShalom LeMelech Al Yisrael. When David HaMelech was not appointed to be the king of Klal Yisrael, Bo'u Doeg V'Achitoyfel Iskanes B'David. Doeg and Achitoyfel came and they were jealous of David HaMelech. They were his teachers, they were Torah scholars, and they were jealous of David HaMelech. K'moshe Kosov, like it says in Tehillim, V'yikanu L'moshe B'machaneh. They were jealous of Moshe. Mihem HaKnoim L'ish Asher Ola Ben L'Begdula. How can you be jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's achieved such great things, such prominence? Rak Anoshim Asher Itzeh B'machaneh Hadoim L'Moshe. Only people who are on the sort of a, you know, on the, in the ballpark, on a similar level, as it were. Avla Anoshim Apshutim Asher Ein Lohem Dimyon L'ish Asher Ola L'Begdula. But anyone who is not anywhere near that level, you're not going to be jealous of him. Lo Neifel Kina B'Libam. V'lochein Kasher Nismane David L'Melech Al Yisrael. When David HaMelech was appointed, who is going to be jealous? They were the Gedolei Yisrael. They were Torah scholars, and therefore they were in the ballpark, and therefore they were jealous of David's appointment as a king. And they said, he's not worthy to be a king in the Jewish people. Why? And David came from Rus, who is from Moav. V'imkein u'posel lovoi b'kal Hashem. And therefore, Doeg and Achitofel said that David HaMelech, not only should he not be king, he's illegitimate to become a member of the Jewish people. Okay, Avol. Chachameinu Zal, Achachomim say, Amoni v'lo Amoinis, Ma'avi v'lo Ma'avis, which is a Gemara in Yevamah Zayin Zayin Amud Aleph. V'imkein lefi ha-Torah shebal peh, according to the Torah Shebal Peh, mutter lovoi bekal Hashem v'lius melech al Yisrael. It would be totally mutter for David HaMelech to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. We know that when we received the Torah on Matan Torah, we received the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu got the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, and then he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights where he received Torah Shebal Peh. That is the explanation, the narrative of Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav without Torah Shebal Peh is almost, you know, incomprehensible. It says in the Pasuk, V'lokachta lochem pre-eitz hodar. Take a beautiful fruit. How does that translate to an esrog? And all the myriad halachas about esrog? Maybe the pre-eitz hodar, this beautiful fruit, is a mango, is a grape. Who says it's an esrog? When it says, how do you know that these tefillin look like that and look like that? And all the details and the myriad halachas of tefillin? Because you've got Torah Shebal Peh, which explains Torah Shebichsav. Well, so too, when it says, Amoni v'lo Moavi, lo yovo b'kal Hashem, Torah Shebal Peh explains that to mean, Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, dafka the males, not the females. Now, hine, penultimate paragraph. Dibur, lo shayach el rak b'tor shebichtav. The loshen of dover daber speech is something unique to Torah shebichtav. Mipnei sheTorah shebichtav motzinu vayedaber v'gam vayomer. You see vayedaber and vayomer throughout Torah. Vayedaber Hashem l'meshalemer. You see vayomer as well. Aval vayedaber lo motzinu b'tor shebal peh. Ela v'rak amira. For example, the Gemara will say Omer Abaya, Omer Rava. It doesn't say Diber Abaya, Diber Rava. It just doesn't say it. So you see, says the Vilna Gaon, that Dibur connotes Torah Shebichsav, and Amira connotes Torah Shebal Peh. So with all of that, now we can understand these two psukim of Tehillim. Take a look at the last paragraph. V'zeo she'oimeh ha'kosuf, sorim rudofu nichinam, David HaMelech is saying in Tehillim, sorim, princes, great people, they were Talmidei Chachamim, they were rudofuni chinam, they were chasing me, they were running after me, chinam, for no reason. Umidvarcha pachad libi. Midvarcha means Torah shebichsav, dovar. I was petrified, because according to Torah shebichsav, I shouldn't have been allowed into the Jewish people, because it just says, Amoni Yomav Yilov B'Kal Hashem. Umamshich HaKosuv, and the Torah carries on, the Pasuk carries on, I mean, in Tehillim, Sos Anochi Al Imrasecha, I rejoice on your Amira. Amira is Torah Shebal Peh. Haynu she Torah Shebal Peh she hitira oisi lova b'kal Hashem. Torah Shebal Peh, which is referred to as Amira, that allowed me to come into the Jewish people. So now I understand beautifully the Pasuk in Tehillim. Sorim rudafuni chinam, doegen achitofel chased after me. Umidvarcha pochad libi, and I was petrified of your dvarcha, of your Torah, because that disallowed me from joining the Jewish people. However, I rejoice on your Amira, i.e. Torah Shebal Peh, because that is what allowed me, justified me to join the Jewish people, like I found this wonderful treasure. So a very beautiful insight into that. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that is why we read Ruas on Shavuos. Because really what we receive on Shavuos is Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. We receive, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up, so that begins the 40-day period, and that begins the receipt, the transmission of Torah Shebal Peh to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it really is Torah Shebal Peh which verified David HaMelech as to his status and allowed him to enter the Jewish people and ultimately to be the Melech of Israel. So you see there's that connection between Shavuos and Torah Shebal Peh, which really predicates David HaMelech. So that's the other link. So just to summarize three ideas, you started off with the importance of the centrality of Torah, not to get too caught up in all the very beautiful minhagim of cheesecake and flowers, but where's the kala? And then we had that lovely ksav kabbalah. Why is the Torah, the matan Torah, is described as ke'esh ocheles? Marek v'ed Hashem is ke'esh ocheles, because just like esh burns things according to their material, according to the combustibility of that material, well, so too our reception of Torah depends on our investment, our connection to Torah. And then the idea of the Ishbitzer with the ruling, the famous ruling of the Hagos Ashri, and if a person doesn't appreciate what you have, you don't have it. So if a person doesn't appreciate Torah, you haven't really got a full acquisition of it. And then we saw six reasons for reading the Megillas Ruas on Shavuos, and that final reason, the seventh reason, of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, because Shavuos Megillas Ruas tells of the story of David HaMelech, and it's really the Kabbalah of Torah Shebal Peh, which is what Shavuos is about, which enabled David HaMelech to enter the Jewish people and to become the Melech of Israel. Okay, wish you all a lovely Yom Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.